Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department that takes care of business, whether it's routine, inspections, diagnostics. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Cameron Smith, 6 under par, playing 18. Tiger Woods teeing off at 18 at 1 under. The guy playing in his group today, Joaquin Niemann, pulled off an eagle as our play-by-play call of the day.
Just a little flip with the wedge.
Yeah, much flatter lie. This one needs to spin. Oh, it's going to catch the slope.
Oh, watch this. Really close. Oh, keep your eyes on this one.
Watch this.
There it is.
Hey, what a shot.
Two at the ninth for Niemann. A highlight for the 23-year-old. Now the leader at the Masters.
And currently three shots back of Cameron Smith on the updated leaderboard. All right. So tomorrow the Phillies will take on the Fighting Connie Max as they take on the Oakland A's. And Scott Fransky, the voice of the Phillies, joins us. Scott, welcome to a new season. And it sounds like a potentially exciting season. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. Good to talk with you again, Steve.
Good talk with you, too. All right, so what does the presence of Nick Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber mean to that lineup, in your opinion?
Quite a bit, potentially. I mean, two very professional hitters, a lefty, a righty, hit for power, get on base. You know, Castellanos is a guy who hit over 300 last year, and Schwarber's average historically has not been anywhere near there, but the on-base percentage is certainly there. So these guys, I mean, they will mean a lot to this offense. I think they're going to take a lot of pressure off guys like JT Realmuto and Rhys Hoskins and just kind of spread that pressure out a little bit more. I mean, Harper obviously is the MVP, and he's, you know, on another plane the way he's, you know, played the last couple years, and certainly the way he's played in spring training. So I think it really balances things out and makes the team obviously, you know, 6-7 deep in their lineup, which is it's going to be tough for a lot of opposing pitchers.
How much does it help? Because Castellanos and Schwarber are not great defensive players. They're outstanding offensive players, but they're not great defensive players. So what does that, because of the presence of the DH, how much does that help Joe Girardi in balancing his defensive lineup because he has that DH spot available?
Well, I mean, it helps. I mean, one of them has to play the outfield most days.
Right, yes.
So I think, by and large, that's going to go to Schwarber. I think they feel like Schwarber is the better defender out there, which I know a lot of people would be like, what? But that's the way at least a lot of the metrics play out. Now, you know, again, somebody gets a hamstring tweak and they're not moving as well, you know, it's a good way to get them part of the game off and just have them hit four times a night and be the DH. And let the other guy play in the outfield. So I do think the DH is, you know, it's going to end up being a big help. Obviously, it's already helped. If there's no DH, then one of those two guys is not here because there's no point in making that kind of a commitment financially. So the fact that there's a DH A, number one, you get a legitimate DH to fill that role, and two, it gives you a lot of options in terms of, you know, you want to give JT a day at first base, or you want to give him a day not at catcher, you know, he can DH. You want to give Rhys Hoskins a day, you can do that. Maybe you want to get Hoskins and Bohm in the lineup on a particular day. So Bohm can play third, or I'm sorry, play first, and Hoskins could play, you know, as the DH or vice versa. So I think it gives him a lot of flexibility.
All right. You did bring up in that answer, you talked about the metrics. So I know in football, when I'm broadcasting football, there are a few things I put in there in preparation. More so in basketball. And, you know, and look, at the level I'm doing baseball here with the spikes, it doesn't really come into play. How much have you transitioned in your career to looking seriously at analytics? And I know only a little bit can make a broadcast, but does it make it more in your broadcast than it used to?
Probably, I would have to say yes. I think baseball, as opposed to the other two sports you mentioned, baseball obviously is such a slow sport, and there's a lot of time to talk about things like that. So I do think there's a little bit more time to discuss it. And it not maybe as much on radio as it is on television, where you could actually have the conversation to explain a particular stat or metric or however you want to describe it to the audience. I don't always have that luxury because you always have to keep up with the pitch, and you can't just let the pictures tell the story. So I've tried to keep it fairly simple, unless it's pretty easily explainable, which I find that not a lot of them are.
I agree.
It's really hard to sit in the middle of a baseball broadcast and explain how they come to the number of defensive runs saved, right?
Yeah.
So either you just accept that the audience knows it, which a lot of them don't, or at least they accept. I think the thing about it is that, you know, batting average is an analytic, right? But it's one that we've all understood how to compute, okay? ERA is an analytic, but it's one that we've all understood how to compute because we were raised on it. That's, you know, it's ingrained. So I think, like anything else, it takes time with some of these, but if I have to do a bunch of explaining on the air, then it's probably not right for the broadcast.
Exactly. I feel exactly this. In other words, in basketball, I'll talk about points per possession.
Well, yeah.
Okay, that's like a batting average. Okay, I went down. Did I get points on the possession or not? That's a batting average. And if you have to explain it, now you're wasting everybody's time.
It's like explaining the joke. Like war, wins above replacement. There's multiple versions of it, depending on what website you're using, and it's pretty complicated in terms. Like I don't have any idea how it's figured out. I just know that more and more people are becoming accustomed to the idea that, you know, this guy's WAR is higher than the other guy, so he must be a better player. Sometimes you lose context when you're just throwing these numbers out there. But again, I think by and large our audience comes to find out what the score is.
Yeah, and exactly.
Right. So there's the ultimate analytic.
Yeah.
What's the score? And yeah, what inning is it?
Score?
Because I think those are the two things that people really want. That and to hear Larry complain about the umpires or something like that.
Or war. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
Or war. It's funny because you mentioned that. That's exactly what, because I do teach a broadcasting, sports broadcasting class here at Penn State to go with what else I do. And that's why I was telling him. I said, look, you can't say inning and score enough.
Right.
Simple as that. You just can't. As for war, if Bryce Harper's out of the lineup, I'm smart enough to know the guy they put in there isn't as good. We're done.
Right.
Okay, so I think we got that. When it comes to the pitching on this, We'll take this in two parts. How do you like the alignment of the starters to get them out of the gate?
I think, obviously, I think we'd all prefer Zach Wheeler to be 100% ready to fire and could have, made that opening day start. I think he earned it with the way he pitched last year. But short in spring, he dealt with some stuff. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So, we move on to the idea that Aaron Nola will get to do it again. And Nola and Gibson are the two most stretched out. And I think getting some innings out of your starters, whether you're the Phillies or the Mets or the Kansas City Royals at this, with this particular month of April, is going to be huge to get some innings out of your starters each night, because I know there's extra arms in the bullpen, but they're going to use all of them to try to protect guys and not rush anybody into it to where they end up with an injury.
Exactly, which now brings us to the next part. We know that it has been a fight for the front office to try and get arms in the middle to get the Phillies to the end. How do you view the middle, that part? Is the potential there that it can be better?
Yes, the potential is there. And as you, that's a key word, obviously, and you know that. The potential is there, but whether they do it or not, that remains to be seen. Bullpens are so finicky, and relievers can be year to year sometimes. And, Brad Hand, who was as dependable as they come, as durable as they come, he had a bad year last year, and he got kind of bounced around with some, the trade, and then got released by Toronto. I mean, he was awful with Toronto, and he's a guy though that has a track record that suggests that he can do the job. And now whether he will or not, I don't know. Has age caught up to him? I don't know. His fastball numbers were better in spring training than I think a lot of people reported last year, and that's a good sign. Will it stay? Once he gets, tries to go the second night of a back-to-back or for the third time in four games or something like that. Will it still be there? Will that zip on his fastball still be there? So, Sir Anthony Dominguez, I think, is a wild card here. Potential is there. We saw him look lights out, and we saw him look not very good at in different outings during the spring. So, but to me, he is the... him and, maybe even to an extent, a Connor Brogdon are the two guys that are kind of wild cards. Because I think Brogdon underperformed a bit last year. I don't know that he was ever fully 100%, but I think he can bring more to the table. I think they feel like he can. And Sir Anthony is a guy who, obviously, coming off of injury, it's kind of a roll of the dice. We're not really sure what we're going to see. But if it's the old Sir Anthony... That's big.
How tough a blow is it for a kid like Mickey Moniak, where he finally had made this opening day roster, to now be out 6 weeks?
It's tough. For any player, much less a young player, it's one of those things where, you just try to, make it happen and move on.
It's about all he can do at this point. Can I ask you about... go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, that's about all you can do. I mean, it's tough. It's tough news, but, I had this discussion with somebody yesterday. We talk so often about the fourth outfielder, the backup catcher, and all these guys, in the 20, I guess, on a normal year, 26-man roster, 28 this year. But it's going to be... it's going to be 30. It's going to be 35. It's going to be close to 40 players we see this year. So, and it takes all of them to kind of chip in and do some good things in order to get you where you want to go if you're going to make the playoffs.
Ranger Suarez is somebody that, I guess he's in the rotation, but he can help in a lot of ways. What can he mean over 162? Because he does have some versatility.
Well, I mean, he does have versatility. I think they'll stick. The idea would be he stays in the rotation and you know, makes a start every fifth day, because I think they like him that much. And, you know, that's how he was brought up. That's what, the way he was groomed, was to be a starter. And I know it's something that he relished the opportunity to go back to that last year. I think that the great thing about Ranger is that there's just that calm demeanor. No moment seems too big for him. No moment seems too fast for him. And that's what I like about him. Can he pitch, you know, make 30 starts to a 1.5 ERA? I think that's probably unlikely. But yeah. I think they feel like they have something in Ranger.
And Phillies fans, treat Nick Castellanos well, even though he bought Ben Simmons' house, okay? All right.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that, actually.
Supposedly he purchased Ben Simmons' home, the one in New Jersey in Morristown.
That's great. Well,
check it out. It's a game note. All right.
Yeah, we'll dig into that one for sure. Yeah.
Scott, I can't wait to hear it all season long. Great work as always. You're the pro's pro. We appreciate you very much.
Thanks, sir. Good to talk with you again.
Thanks. Scott Fransky. Did you like that little note there at the end? I mean, I know because it's been a bad day for you. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's been a bad day for you. I know that. So I understand.
As long as he doesn't pick up any Ben Simmons-isms, he's good, and I don't think he will.
I'm just saying. It's been a bad day for you. All right? I mean, you got a guy that voted for a total complete bum in Nikola Jokic. You're mad about that. And Tiger Woods is one under par playing 18, and you're mad about that. He's three shots back. It's been a bad day for you.
It's early. It's early when it comes to Tiger. I can't help people's stupidity when it comes to the NBA MVP race.
Oh, so you're going to vote for Giannis? No?
No, senor! No, senor! By the way, no, senor!
By the way, Cameron Smith opened the round with a double bogey. He closed the round with a double bogey. He was 8 under in between the other 16 holes. He's at 4 under par 68, one shot lead over Danny Willett. Joaquin Niemann is a shot back playing 18. Scottie Scheffler is a shot back playing 17. Sungjae Im is a shot back playing 11. And three shots back in the ninth place is Eldrick Woods, much to your chagrin. By the way, Dustin Johnson's playing the ninth hole at 2 under. Will Zalatoris is at 1 under, playing 8. Let's see. And Hideki Matsuyama's just finishing. He's even, the defending champion. Rory McIlroy's even through 6. Tiger's at 1 under. How about that? Isn't that incredible, Matt?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Just so filled with hate. Oh, if it's not going your way, you're a grumpy bear. If it's not going your way, you are one grumpy dude, man. Wow. I mean, I expect this from the suit, so it's just like, okay, whatever. Okay. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory-trained techs take care of of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 630 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 630 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Been another disastrous Matt day. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. A fabulous service department that makes it all pay off because, you know, you're going to need routine maintenance. You're going to need inspections. They're great at both. And maybe, unfortunately, maybe sometimes you'll need the diagnostics. Well, they'll be able to take care of it. It's one-stop vehicle shopping, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, here with 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Scotty Scheffler just rolled in a putt on 17. He has tied Cameron Smith for the lead. And Dustin Johnson has just birdied the very tough ninth hole. He's one shot back at 3-under. Now let's get to the bad news. Tiger Woods completed his round and shot 71 in his three shots back. And for Matt, let's face it, there are objects being thrown against the wall.
Well, he's made it through the first 18 holes. Good for him.
I think it's miraculous. He's playing better than other guys in the field. He played better than McIlroy. He's played better than Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas. I've got to give the guy credit. He cannot bend down anymore to line up putts. He has to do it from a standing and then bend from the hip location to look at putts. It's just the way it is for him. And look, he's been limping. Everybody knows he's been limping throughout the course of the round. It's what he's doing is not easy. So I give him all the credit in the world. He's three shots back at 71. Tomorrow's going to be tough. He's good. Now, he did get this bonus, all right? So let's talk about the bonus he got. The way the tournament lines up, he got the morning round today, but he gets the afternoon round tomorrow. By getting the afternoon round tomorrow, it'll give him a few extra hours of rest before he has to play. And, of course, that will mean recovery for him as well. And tomorrow's not going to be easy weather-wise. It's going to be a very tough weather day tomorrow. You need to really score today. And he didn't shoot himself out of the tournament today. Now, obviously, I'm going with logical analysis. The emotional analysis is there's just pure hate on the other side of the microphone. I haven't heard... Tiger Woods, to you, is golf's version of Nikola Jokic.
I think that's a little bit of an insult to Nikola Jokic, but...
What are you talking about? You've been killing Jokic all day. He's not good. Just because somebody voted for him on their MVP ballot, you're mad.
I would say it would be the writer from The Athletic that's in that territory than Jokic himself.
He's entitled to his opinion. Everybody has different opinions. Different opinions, you know. So, we'll see. Shoo, Scheffler badly missed the green at 18. Ooh, almost bounced into a guy's cup. Now, here, cup of whatever beverage he has, okay? You know what's interesting about the Masters, about Augusta National? They have a lot of rules. Here, let me tell you what two rules happen to be. You're not allowed to bring a camera, and you're not allowed to have a cell phone. How about that? So when you go to the Masters, you see everything with your eyes. You see everything with your eyes. Of course you see everything with your eyes. No, how many times? There was that great picture when Justify won the Belmont Stakes to win the Triple Crown, the last Triple Crown. cover of Sports Illustrated, all these people at the finish line holding up their phones. Totally understand people wanting to record the moment. I totally understand that. But we're also losing the part where we're looking at it through a lens and not looking at it with our own eyes. Yeah, I just love the idea of looking at it with our own eyes. Yeah, so when this, so the ability to watch somebody play as opposed to looking at it through your phone, old-fashioned but neat. Very neat. So, yeah. Just thought I'd throw that in there. So the Phillies play tomorrow. Love their lineup. Love their lineup. Feel badly about Mickey Moniak. He's a hairline fracture. He's out 6 weeks. I don't know if you knew that or not, Matt, before I asked Scott about that.
Yes, I just saw it come across, and yeah, it's up there now.
Yeah,
that's a really tough one.
It's tough for him. You know, he's had to fight his way to get into this thing. Yeah, it's just been a long road. But I love Realmuto, Hoskins, Castellanos, Schwarber, and of course the great Bryce Harper. What a lineup that is. I don't know if they'll be able, you know, you look at Sergio, I think Gibson's a good pitcher. Nola's a terrific pitcher. I like Ranger Suarez, as you could tell in my question with Scott. I just think that the question's going to be the bullpen, and I think the offense, by the way, might be enough to overcome a hole or two in the bullpen. Now, your team, we're going to find out a lot about your team the first weekend in May, okay? Because we'll find out which ones are allowed to go to Toronto and which ones have to stay home.
Correct.
Toronto's really good, by the way. You want to talk about a great offense? What a great offense Toronto has. George Springer, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette. They've got some offense there. Offense sells tickets, man. Offense sells tickets. And that's why you see leagues doing more and more in offense. You know, it's interesting. Somebody was talking about the grind of the NBA today because we opened the show by talking about Adam Silver saying, hey, look, our stars have got to play more games. And he's right. The stars do have to play more games. Andre Drummond is a terrific player. He's really a good player. But he doesn't sell any tickets. If he's missing a game or a couple games, people are like, oh, gee, that's too bad. All right. But if Kevin Durant misses a game, like, oh, man, I bought the test. I hope Durant was going to play. Doggone, I was hoping Embiid was going to play. Doggone, I hope Jason Tatum was going to play. There's certain guys that, as a fan, it means a lot that you got there and they're going to play in the game today. I think there's more forgiveness in baseball because it's 162 games, but Harper tries to play every game. You know, Harper hates missing games. I love that about him. I think that's really important that, you know, you have that kind of attitude. I'm going to play as many as I can. And the NBA doesn't have that attitude. At least they've, for some reason, and again, the part of this is the media's fault. Oh, we completely understand the grind. Excuse me. Let's understand the grind here for a second. They are asking you to show up 82 nights out of 365. Okay, 82 out of 365. That's what they're asking you to do. And the NBA is not what the NBA was 25 years ago, where it was pound and grind and hitting. And, you know, you go into the lane and, you know, it's like no autopsy, no foul. Okay? Well, now it's not like that. Today's game is more athletic, beautiful passing, great shooting. Almost everybody in that league can shoot. You get a big guy like Mo Bamba, for example. Mo Bamba can step out and he can shoot it. I mean, consistently shoot the ball. And so the grind of it, there's a lot of running. and a lot of sprinting, no getting around it. But you're not getting belted around in today's NBA like you did 25 years ago. So it's a grind with the number of games and the travel, but the travel is easier than ever. You're staying literally at the Ritz-Carlton or the Four Seasons. That's where you stay. You are traveling on charters. They have certain rules about when you got to be out, you know, when you have to arrive at a place. I got that. But the bottom line is, in a world where people are trying to grind out five-day weeks, you're expected to be at work 22% of the time out of 365 days. You're expected to be at work 22% of the time if you play all 82. Okay? This is a consumer-based product. You need fans. You need fans in the seats. You need people watching. And if you want to triple your TV money, you better have your stars out there playing on TV. I'll never forget that game a year ago where the Sixers played the Nets, and eight of the Nets were out. Like, eight of the Nets are out? That's how you treat your TV partner in their national game of the week? Really? No, I know a lot of, you know, everybody's talking about mental health and so forth. I got that, but 78% of the time, you're not playing. Now, that's the regular season, obviously. You know, the playoffs start, but like, who knows? You could be going four games, or you could be going 16. But the 82 regular season games, that's 22% of the year you're playing a game. The other 78% you aren't. And that's what they have to understand, that there are people, and Dustin Johnson's just tied Cameron Smith and Scottie Scheffler for the lead at 4-under. He just rolled in a birdie at the 10th. I mean, he has birdied three of the last four holes. he's pretty good. But that's what you're talking about here. I'm not saying it's not easy. It's difficult. And it's a lot of running, and it's physically draining, and people nitpick every performance. Oh, you know, and I mean, how would you like to have your performance nitpicked every single day of your life? Oh, you didn't sell that policy, Bob. Gee, Matt, you know, you wouldn't have voted for Jokic? Oh, no, that's right. We do pick on you for that. I forgot.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
You got to give me credit for slipping these things in.
Oh, I do.
I'm having fun with my buddy here. But, again, think about the numbers. And look, it's physically grinding. I know there's a lot to it. There's travel, everything like that. But you're traveling on charters. You're staying in the best hotels. Does it make up for the fact that it's a grind? Of course it's a grind. I had somebody asking me today when I was out getting food over at Sheetz. And they said, hey, are you doing any traveling? I said, no, I haven't traveled since the Big Ten tournament. And they go, oh. I said, how long do you travel? I said, 8 months out of the year. He goes, wow. You know, now, I have no problem with the travel at all. Zero. But it doesn't mean it's not tiring from time to time. Although I'll freely admit I get more sleep now than I did 11 years ago. Way more sleep. Yeah. You know what set me on the path of getting more sleep? I mean, like, they really turned it around for me.
No, that is a good, interesting question.
Yeah, listening to The Suit. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Four, please. Now driving, Tiger Woods.
I'd have phrased that differently. I'd have said, now on the tee, Tiger Woods. I wouldn't say now driving. Because it's just, you know, if we all know what happened last year, I don't think I would have phrased it that way, just out of respect to him. But I understand why whomever said it. I got it. Scottie Scheffler bogeyed 18, by the way. So now it's a two-way tie. Cameron Smith, Dustin Johnson atop the leaderboard. Much to Matt's chagrin, Tiger Woods shot a 1-under 71. for some reason, Matt has been very unhappy today about a number of things. Yankees aren't playing. They were supposed to. They backed out. They claimed something about weather. I don't know what that means. I mean, my understanding, it's 70 and sunny at Yankee Stadium today. Really? No? Not true?
I haven't checked the weather. I have no idea.
No, it's lousy like it is here.
Oh, okay.
There's no way they should be playing today. They're going to play tomorrow instead, and they postponed that yesterday. There's been a lot of, I mean, Nikola Jokic has been discussed more on this show than at any point in his lifetime. And did not come out well in Matt's eyes. He just he basically thinks he's a piker. Like,
I would put that more toward the writer, the athletic writer, than Jokic himself.
Who probably has seen Jokic more than you have this year. Right?
That's true.
You know, it's like, you know, it's... I'll never forget one time we're discussing something. I was talking to my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law's going on about this, and there were a couple things he wasn't right about. And I said, I decided to do this, this, and this. He says, well, what makes your opinion more important than mine? I said, well, I have a vote. So, actually, since I have a vote, it probably has a little more oomph to it, don't you think?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
That sort of ended it right there. Doesn't mean I'm right, but it does have my opinion has a little more impact. I have a vote. Doesn't mean I'm right or wrong. So a bad day, another bad show for Matt. Tried desperately to defend Joel Embiid. Found out the other guy had better stats in two areas. That didn't help. Tiger Woods defied the odds, shot a 71, better than two-thirds of the field. That didn't make Matt happy.
I'm amazed he's made it through 18 so far. But Seattle tomorrow recovers. Will be the real test.
Well, but you know what? Tomorrow's going to be a real test for everybody. The weather tomorrow, especially the wind, the scoring conditions tomorrow will not be great. It's going to have to be a battle for everybody tomorrow.